Thank you very much, worship team. We appreciate you doing this. But this morning, Patty and Brian, fantastic job. Let's say thank you to them. They got here a little after 11 last night and started getting that all together. Yeah, just let me tell the story, Patty. And we're glad you did. Thank you very much. Makes a big difference. This morning, what we'd like to do, Ann, would you come on up here? This morning, what we'd like to do is to look at several pieces of Scripture from your community groups this week. The Scripture that we're looking at is from Luke chapter 23 and Luke chapter 24. And we want to concentrate this morning on several of the key characters in this story. Ann is going to read for us about Joseph of Arimathea. By the way, if you want to grab me or one of the elders on the side, if you want to have a sidebar conversation, who I believe one of the heroes in the New Testament who never gets a word spoken about him, it's Joseph of Arimathea. So, Anne is going to read for us Luke chapter 23, verses 50 to 56.
And a man named Joseph, who was a member of the council, a good and righteous man, he had not consented to their plan in action, a man from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who was waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. He took it down and wrapped it in a linen cloth and laid him in a tomb into the rock, where no one had ever lain. It was the preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. Now the women who had come with him out of Galilee followed, and saw the tomb, and saw his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and perfumes, and on the Sabbath they rested according to the commandment.
Thank you very much, Anne. Appreciate that. Anne and Fran help co-lead our community group, and it's just been an awful lot of fun together with these people. Did you hear the story of Joseph of Arimathea? You've heard it before. It gets read around Easter all the time. Here's what I would like you to do. You're in seats that move. I'm going to let you sit, or unless you want to stand. I'd like you to find another person or two, and just for a minute or so, what I would like you to do is talk about Joseph of Arimathea. As you look at this story, somebody from the Sanhedrin who goes and gets the body of Jesus, gets permission from the Romans to do it, et cetera, puts it in a tomb that he, according to history, had put for himself to use. His body was going to go in there. Nobody had ever been in there. This guy's doing remarkable stuff. Now, what you're going to do is get with somebody else or another person, three most, and you're going to talk about what impresses you. What did Joseph of Arimathea do that impresses you? And then after you decide that, then you're going to talk to each other like this. What challenges you about his life? What about what he did challenges you today? Because there's some stuff there. Have that conversation twofold. What intrigues you about his life? What did he do that was impressive? And then, how does his life and what he did challenge you today? Talk with the person. There you go. You've got a couple of minutes. Okay, if you could wrap up your conversation in the next 30 seconds, that would be great. Okay, who wants to be bold enough to speak loud enough that I can hear them? What about the character of Joseph of Arimathea? Just call him Joseph for right now. What about him intrigues you? What was something that he did where you just like, you got to be kidding me? I mean, I've got one and it's really gross, and I'm not going to say it unless you want me to. Who said yeah? Oh, I figured. Okay, good. Maybe we'll get to it. Maybe somebody else will say it too. All right. What intrigues you about him? What was notable about him? What was different about him?
His faith.
His faith. Patty? That is really something else. The courage to go up to ask for Jesus' body from the Romans is unbelievable, because things could have gone real south for him right there. Exactly. You want to go get him? We'll put you up on a cross too. I can see it, okay? Jerry? Okay. We read from the accounts that he did not consent to the vote to have Jesus arrested and killed and turned over to Pilate. We read that from the accounts that he dissented as much as he probably could, being on the Sanhedrin, the ruling council. That took courage there. Little did we know a big courageous action was coming next. Okay, what else did you hear in your group that was fun to mention? Okay, go ahead. Oh, boy, you going there, aren't you? He was willing to become unclean. For a Jew on one of the highest holy days, their holy days, for him to go to become unclean by doing what? Touched a dead body. In fact, some of what we read, according to the Jewish law, is he would be considered unclean for up to a year. I'm not sure if it was being enforced at that time, because a lot of other things weren't. But he had, and that's the gross part of this story. He had the courage. I'm not sure I've got this courage. One guy goes up to get the bloody body of Jesus off the cross. You got to think about that for a minute. Do you want to do that? A dead body? There are nails stuck in him. And so how do you get those free? You get the idea, don't you? Not a great activity. Any other observations about Joseph? Yes, Bob. Okay. This is, by the way, this little devotional that Bob just gave, which is tremendous, talking about the burial plot of Jesus. Some of us getting to the age of getting burial plots, thinking people would come there and have fond memories of us. But Joseph of Arimathea said, no, you come here, here's where Jesus is going to be. Doesn't know he's going to come back to life. Here's where he's going to be, and you come back here and have fond memories about him. This guy was truly a believer. And I would challenge you to look up the historical records about him to see where he goes from here. It gets even more dramatic as he becomes what you would consider one of the first missionaries to leave that early church in Jerusalem and travel across one of Paul's goals, the then known world. Now let's lay with you in this. He ends up in, what'd we say, Jim, Glastonbury? Glastonbury, England, before England was really England. He ends up all the way over there. And I think the only reason he ended up there, because he ran out of land. This guy was going as far as he could in the then and then the unknown world to share Christ. Whole other story, get me or somebody talking about it. It is fun stuff to hear. Hey, what's a challenge from his life? What from his life speaks to you right now? Go ahead. Okay, willingness to do what's right even when everybody around you isn't doing. That's good. Beth? Bold. You can do this in one-word statements. Bold. More bold than most of us to do that. Well, give me some other words and phrases. Bold, fearless, borderline, looks stupid, doesn't it? But it wasn't. Yes. Brave. Very good. Courageous. Brave. Courageous. We got it. Okay. Stepping out and representing the Lord no matter what the cost is or no matter what the cost might be. And you might go, oh, that's just teenagers in high school, right? That's just kids in school dealing with that. No. Yes. And where we work and what we do, it's the same thing. You start talking about Jesus and get involved in people's lives, you'd be surprised how people might think about you. And there might be a price to be paid for that, and it's worth it. Jerry? He went as far as he could go. He ran out of land. Okay, good. And he did make disciples. In fact, history records that he was there when the Catholic priests, missionaries, went over to bring Christianity to that region of the world. They were surprised at how many Christians were already there. They're like, how'd you know that? And they're like, well, this Joseph of Arimathea was one of the key people who brought a band of people out that way. And according to history, left all his riches back in the Galilee region of Arimathea, left all that to go do that. Ooh, personal cost. I like it. Let's keep going here. Bob, where are you? Come on up here, Bob. There's another part to this, and it talks about the women. And don't you ever consider women second-class citizens, because here they are, getting declared by the divine about what's not in the tomb. Jesus is not here. But you got to hear this from the Scripture. If you covered it in your community group this week, this is dynamic text. Bob's going to read to us from Luke chapter 23, 55, and then 24 up through verse 11. So he's got a little bit of reading. But listen to the story. Real people in a real-life situation. Bob?
Now the women who had come with him out of Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and perfumes. And on the Sabbath they rested according to the commandment. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." And they remembered his words, and returned from the tomb, and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now they were Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James. Also the other women with them were telling these things to the apostles. But these words appeared to them as nonsense, and they would not believe them.
Thank you very much, Bob. I appreciate that. Okay, the women had an experience of which only a handful of people in Scripture can say. They encountered the divine. The divine actually appeared to them. In this case, two angels dressed in brilliant white from what we get all the accounts. And they had not a conversation, they listened. Because the news was outrageously good. What you need to do in your group right now is talk for a couple of minutes about the women. What about the women? What about them intrigues you? What about their experience maybe says something to you and challenges you? What can you learn from these women? Even what questions might you have? Go, you've got a couple minutes to talk about the women encountering the empty tomb. You have about 30 seconds more, and we're going to hear what you have to say. Okay, if we could have your attention up this way. The women, by the way, hey, if you got more spare time, doing a little biographical search of each of these women is more than interesting who they are. If you read all the accounts, you will also notice that there's a woman in there. I'll just throw this out to whet your appetite. There's a woman in there who is the woman, she's the sister of Joseph, the father of Jesus. Jesus, right, his aunt. She's the wife of the brother of the Joseph. Help me with this. Anyway, she is. If you took Joseph, who's no longer in the scene, okay, he had a brother who was married to this woman who's part of this scene. You'd be surprised these early women, even when things get going in Acts chapter 2 in Jerusalem, how intimately and integrally they are involved with the gospel movement of getting it out. And hold it. When the Holy Spirit came to the upper room, it didn't just come to the apostles. There was a room full of how many people? Very good, Phil. Pulled that out of thin air. I like that. There was over 100 people in the room. Of course, these women were there, and they received the Holy Spirit. Just neat stuff to have in the back of your mind as real people encounter Jesus Christ, which is what this was. You were talking about the women who were there, had the first encounter with the divine, announcing that Jesus was risen. What did you talk about in your group that we need to hear that would challenge us, Phil? Very good. I like that. Thank you very much. Faithful to the end. Another one about the women, another observation. Another something I should consider. Yes, you're a spokesman for the table. I love this. I really do. Okay. They were confused. A lot to take in, getting an announcement from a couple of angels like that. Not what you were expecting. You were expecting a dead body to put perfume on it. You know why they did that? Because when the body rots, it what? It stinks. It smells. They were thinking long term. They didn't want this grave stinking of Jesus, the one they loved. And look what happens. Okay, let's keep going. Another observation. Well, don't have to. Is there that way? Mildred, good and loud, please. That's really good. The women covered different socioeconomic classes at the time. I love that. I really do. Okay. Yes, sir. Nicely said. The women brought the message of the gospel and the truth of Jesus alive to the men. And if you read the text, they don't really grab onto it right away. Just like a man, right? Tell them what they need to know and they're like, yeah, I don't know. No, I didn't want an amen on that. I'm just making a comment, all right? Okay, thank you. I threw all the men under the bus Easter Sunday morning. Hey, Ann, go ahead. Boy, did you get that? The angel appeared to Mary at first to let her know that Jesus was coming, going to be born. And then the angels appeared to Mary to let her know that he was alive and had risen. That is a great pickup, Fran Ann. Thank you. That's got some depth to it. That's got wheels, gears. Thank you. Okay, any challenge from the lives of the women? Any challenge from their lives? Anything that speaks to me today? This just go down in history as putting the Bible just for fun by the Lord, or is there something there for me today from it? Huh? Okay. I'll let it rest then. Yes, go ahead, Beth. Okay. Very good. The commitment. The women were doing the practical, and they were doing the obedient and the faithful, and then they went and told. I like that. Last bit of scripture is one verse, and I thought about not doing this, but I think you got to throw this in. As people like you and I chart the timeline of Peter through the New Testament, you got to admit, this guy takes us a lot of different places, doesn't he? And today's is baffling to me. Devin, come on up here. Devin's going to read this verse, and it is in Luke chapter 24, verse 12. One verse. Peter just gets mentioned really in this account in one place, but listen to it carefully. Devin?
But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. When he stooped and looked inside, he saw that the cloths and linens were by themselves, and he went home, marveled at what he had seen.
Thank you very much. Devin, was that from memory? Okay, good. I was looking for the cue cards, and that was fantastic, Devin. I'm impressed, buddy. All righty, one verse by Peter. Talk about it just for a minute. What impresses you? Is there something I need to learn from it? Or even would you say, I've got some questions? Go ahead, talk for a couple minutes. We want to hear what you got. It's about another minute on Peter. There's a lot to say. If you could wrap up your discussion on Peter right now. Just that this goes by real quick. Peter went, there's one word in here that I did some Greek research on. But other than that, what's your observation about Peter? Runs to the tomb. We know from another account he runs there with young John and writes the Gospel of John. They both get there. John beats him. We know that. But what'd you talk about in regards to Peter? What'd you make note of? What about Peter? Anybody?
He had to go home and think about it. You know, Patty, that's exactly it. He had to go home.
That's the word I did the work on. Okay? The word here in the ESV is the fact that he was marveling. Means he was thrilled but didn't understand it all. Have you ever had an event happen in your life and you kind of later on replay it and try to understand it and think it out? And that's what this was. And this poor guy is just going through it. Martin, you got your hand up? Yes, you do. Two psychologists at the table. Go for it. Excellent observation by whichever psychologist pulled that out. I'm thinking it was one of your kids. But the truth of the matter is that just previous to this, he's the one that denied Christ. And was all he ran away after that. You don't know what was going on in his head. So for him to come and see the empty grave, his head was spinning round and round and And I'd say this, and I don't have it exactly for this morning, but I know the first encounter between Jesus and Peter had to be spectacular. I would have loved to have heard what they said. How did that go down? Who hugged who? Did anybody hug any? What was said? I want to know that. You get the idea. Okay, we're going to ask our worship team to come back up. I'm going to ask you to stand for this last song. Really appreciate you being here this morning. We'll sing this song and then I'll close us with prayer. You've noticed by now that at the end of the gathering, we try to have somebody give a challenge to Fellowship Week, which is the week we're about to have where we intentionally seek to get involved with other people, to lead them to Christ or grow Christ in them. That's what the church does, involved out there. That's the way it was meant to be. But listen, I would tell you I don't have to give the challenge this morning. All I have to do is go to read Luke chapter 24, verse 5. An almost cynical comment said from the angels to the women, and it goes like this: He is not here, he is risen. That's it. That's the thing I take this week. The fact that Jesus was alive 2,000 years ago, the fact that Jesus is alive right now, and the fact that Jesus is living in me right now. That's the message I take to the people where God has strategically placed me. And that's what we encourage you to do, Candlewood. Let me pray over you, folks. Our Father, I thank you for those whom you've gathered here, your children who seek to serve you and honor you, who claim you as Lord. And Father, as we go from here today into what you've called us to this next week, might we be able to bring the message, vibrant message, that Jesus is alive. And he's alive within me. And let me share with you about that very fact. Father, use us this week and spend us as you see fit. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.